myself up because I thought, hey, listen, if a Jehovah Witness knocks on my door or a Mormon or whatever, I need to be open and say, you can question my life. That's okay. Question my faith, you know? Because, but understand, though, I want to be able to question yours, too, okay? It goes both ways. And it's not fair for me to want to share my faith with others if I can't allow them to open up my life as well. So anyway, I said, well, getting back to Tim's question, am I bearing fruit? So I looked back, and I knew what he was getting at. How many people had I baptized? How many people have I led to Christ in the last 6, 9 months, or what have you? And I thought back, and I said, well, let's see. I'm bearing fruit. Help me out. What are you getting at? So he helped me out. And I told him, I said, well, you know, bearing fruit, that's a good question. And I said, you know, the fruit of the Spirit, if I get, what is the fruit of the Spirit? And I go to, was that Ephesians chapter 5? Let's look through that. Am I bearing fruit? You know? And then we went through the fruit of the Spirit. And I said, well, this one here, you know, this love part. In certain relationships, I'm doing pretty good at it. But this gentleness and patience stuff, you know, man, I got a lot to grow in. I'm still struggling. You know, and it's kind of like, what yardstick are we going to use to evaluate our faith? And we all need to do that, you know, and we need to let people question and open ourselves up. But also realize that people who ask their questions will have certain yardsticks, and hopefully they'll be using certain scriptures over others that are important to them. But realize that, you know, we need to allow people to open our lives up and question that. And I thought, let's open it up here in class. What yardsticks do we use to know that, are we in our spiritual life, are we on to meat and not just drinking milk? You know, and maybe we can, and obviously we'll have a lot of differences here, but maybe we can really help each other on that walk and that measurement stick. So let's just open it up and share some insight with each other. A loaded question for 9:30 in the morning on Sunday.
Actually comes down to maturity, both personally and I guess my roots in doctrine and theology and my understanding of God and my relationships with other people. Because Ephesians, they also talk about, are you a child or are you an adult? And their definition of child is someone who's easily swayed by the arguments of people, someone who is inconsistent day to day, who doesn't really know where they're going or what they're doing with their life. Whereas someone who is more mature has a firm foundation.
Okay. So you're in the scripture a lot.
Yeah.
So that?
Yeah, being in the scripture, applying it, not keeping it separate from our life, working to always reach a deeper and deeper understanding, to grow, to keep growing.
Hunger and thirst for righteousness and the Word of God.
Yeah.
Got that going, you know that you're probably chewing on some meat in life. Okay. That's good.
I think one thing that's important for me is, are we able to put God's Word into practice? Because I think back on Christians in the first century, and it's easy to think that everybody was like Paul. Paul was a very learned Jew who had spent, I would imagine, years studying the scripture. But I think that he was probably the exception more than the rule. Because, you know, when the church was growing by thousands a day, it wasn't 1,000 Jewish scholars that were being added every day. It was 1,000 everyday people. And everyday people back then really, at least from what I understand, were really not all that scholarly. And they probably didn't know the Word of God nearly as well as Paul did. And yet they still had the Word of God in their lives. And for them it was probably more daily decisions that they made and how the Word of God affected their lives as So it really wasn't the scholarly point of view, more as the practical, day-to-day, how do I apply this in my life? So that's kind of a yardstick that I might use, is not so much can you quote 150 scriptures, which is a good thing because you need to be able to quote them so you can apply them, but even more important is, are you applying them? I really think that is how it affected most of the Christians in the early world, and we shouldn't need, can't overlook that.
If you think about the baby and how they deal with milk, they spit it out and they have to be cleaned up by somebody else and they have to keep being fed by somebody else. But when you're talking about eating meat, you're talking about something that you do yourself and you go out and seek of it and nobody has to take care of you. And I think when you think about how that applies to being a Christian, in the beginning you have to get that help from other people. And you have to get somebody to continually feed you the right thing and help you. But eventually you should get to the point where you're able to seek out the truth yourself. And you're able to... And I don't think that milk is something that you never stop needing. Because sometimes we get so far off into chewing on these big steaks of issues. And we forget that we need to constantly be reminded of the simple things of faith as well. But they work together. You don't survive on one alone. And for everyone, I think that the way that you get your meat is different, or can be different. For Paul, he delved into the Word. He learned more and more. For other people, it's a lot of application. It's fixing the little things in their life. It's going out and witnessing regularly. Some people, that's not what they're gifted in. They're gifted in witnessing to a few people around them. And we have different ways. We all like different diets. And we all have different diets that are beneficial to our bodies. Some people are allergic to peanut butter. Well, they can't eat it. I think in a lot of ways that all applies. Some people, it's much better if they pursue one direction or another.
How do you measure if you're on a meat-eating diet for the last 3 months versus...
For me, it's a lot of different things. It's how much am I studying? It's how much am I witnessing to other people? Right now, I felt very isolated, being not working, not being way out in St. Charles. And so I started witnessing to people on the internet. And it's worked really well. God's brought me a lot of relationships that I can witness in, and a lot of people who are seeking. And that, in my life, that's one of the major things, is if I'm witnessing or not, because that's something I've done my whole life. And when I am witnessing, I find myself in the Word a lot more and studying a lot more, because you end up out on the end of a limb if you don't. And that motivates me to be studying more, to be praying more. My prayer life has really taken off lately. Just having people who've asked me, pray for me in this situation. And I'm probably better able to do it than I ever was before.
Okay. Do you measure it by, not exclusively, but a big part of how are you aware of other people's needs, I guess, too, by praying for them or... Daniel, tell me, how do you measure your maturity level, I guess?
Yeah, kind of like we discussed last night, I think one thing is just being engaged with whatever your life has and how that is, what are the circumstances in your life and how you feel that you're responsible for God with that situation. If it's raising kids, which right now I feel a great responsibility and kind of helping them focus in on things, faith, how you develop them, you set up certain principles, just whatever your situation is. In Hebrews, it talks, it's kind of got a similar issue. Hebrews 5, he's kind of putting you know, he's kind of talking about the same thing. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is unskilled in the word of righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, for those whose faculties have been trained by practicing to distinguish good from evil. This has kind of intrigued me, but, you know, kind of saying, okay, you gotta, you know, you've got to refine your abilities to determine what is good and evil. You know, some things are obviously good, some things are obviously evil, but, you know, there's a whole big middle ground sometimes that you have to, you know, you kind of wonder, you know, and you've got to kind of think about, you know, and I think that is a good guide. So when you look over at Solomon, you know, when we, you know, you look at his life, and when he was asked for the gift to get from God, we always say we got wisdom, but you know, it really talks about he wants the ability to give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people. Governing your people, able to discern between good and evil. For who can govern this your great people? So there was a focus, again, this ability to discern good and evil.
Let me kind of follow up with something you mentioned last night, if you don't mind. We always have this question on ourselves, am I doing enough within the church? Am I putting enough time, investing enough, whether it's with our kids' activities, or whether it's helping with our small group in the middle of the week, or following up with a couple people that aren't there, giving rides, whatever. We're always questioning, am I doing enough? And those are valid questions. We probably ought, we all need to be participating in one area or another. Now the question is after we're doing so many things, how much is enough? You know, yeah, you know, it's really a very difficult question, because sometimes 1 week, we have the time, emotional bank, to help some people who are in need. But some weeks, I know about a month ago, my emotional bank was very empty because of work, you know, some things going on at work. And I need to spend some time with God to get my bank back up and invest, helping a couple people at work by not being impulsive in my responses with them because of their problems and being laid back, prepared, encouraging, even though they weren't being that way to me. So as a result, I was investing a lot of my energy there, and I give a ride sometimes to a couple of people there at church, and I won't mention names sometimes. I don't feel like they're engaging in conversation with them. I don't have the emotional energy like this morning, you know, or a couple of weeks ago. This morning I was wrestling with my 6-year-old. But anyway, you know what I mean? It's like every week can be different. And I need to make sure that I'm not being tossed back and forth by the waves on one hand, but also I need to realize that each week can be very different. And I need to realize, I guess, 1 week I might be helping a lot at church or what have you, but the next week I might need to pull back a little bit so that I can put my energy into another relationship or something, you know. So it's hard to quantify. It's what I'm saying, isn't it? Very hard to quantify in our life. Am I serving, participating enough at Mid-County? And so I thought I'd ask this guy in the back, as an elder, do you ever feel like you are using your talents and gifts and eating meat in your spiritual life enough for the church, for your family life? Do you ever feel like you're at peace with yourself? Or do you feel like, oh, I'm still not doing enough? Do you ever feel? Give us some reflection on that. You understand my...
Yeah, I think I understand the question. I think that there is a tendency for me to consistently feel that, but I'm not sure that that's a healthy... I think that's a worldly thought as opposed to a spiritual thought, to use the context of 1 Corinthians. You know, am I doing enough? And I think as I've grown over the years, I think it's by nature, it's very easy to focus on the root. Kind of like Stanley's age-old sermon, the root or the fruit. It was a sermon he preached about 30 years ago. And you know, there's a lot to be said about that, that I think the focus in my life and the only way for me to maintain really any continuity or any sense of tying everything together is to focus on the root. And trust that the right fruit will be born. Because if I start looking at the fruitfulness, man, there are so many darn gaps. You know, it's like Swiss cheese. It's just really frightening in my own life and the life of the church and my family. And I mean, it can just be, you know, you just think, wow, we are just so, you know, whether it's sin or whether it's inadequacy or whether it's the world just trampling on us, or whether it's, you know, stuff going on in other people's life. You start taking a cumulative view of all that, and it's just very overwhelming. I got to step back and say, okay, am I conscious of God, and I belong to Him, and that I'm His child, and that I'm saved today. I don't have to live in guilt, and I don't have to live in guilt of the past or fear of the future, and claim that. And then claim that in the areas of my life that are around me, whether it's family or in relation to the church. And I don't know that I can do a whole lot more than that. Frankly, that seems to be pretty... that's not the time to say there aren't time for other discussions, and whether it's theological or whether it's personal and getting down in a marriage, you know, nitty-gritty of a relationship. You know, I think we do work on those, but in terms of the big picture and the day-to-day, it's concentrating on those central roots, kind of like Psalm 1, which addresses the same idea. He's like a tree planted by streams of water. And I want to make sure that I am rooted by the stream, and that I'm pointing people in that direction, which yields its fruit in season. And then in the context of the passage, he's talking about his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night, which I think includes the word, but I think it's probably a more comprehensive thought than that. It's a God consciousness in the way that we're living and in the relationships that we have. So I don't know if that's answering your question, but it's kind of backing up maybe to a 50,000 feet, as opposed to getting right down in the nitty-gritty, because once it gets just really complicated, when we do that.
But if you focus on the fruit, you're guaranteeing yourself. One, I think you're off base just a little bit. Like just by what you said, that should maybe be a warning sign to us that we're kind of messed up. Not that you... Because if you're going to take your spiritual pulse all the time, you're going to come up wanting, you know, it's going to make me wonder, what are we focusing on? Really focusing on a works mentality. And it's one you're going to lose.
Yeah. And verse 6, God, that naturally flowed after your feedback. I planted, Apollos watered, but God was causing the growth. His spiritual maturity, I guess, is a very, very long term sometimes. Sometimes it's a very, very short term, but it's like a sprint and it's a marathon altogether. And you're right. It's hard to take an honest pulse how we're doing in the long term, because God's going to cause the growth, and it's a very intangible thing, fruits. If we plant a vegetable garden, we got to wait. And sometimes they may not produce very good fruit the first year because we made some bad mistakes, you know, or a strawberry patch, right? How do strawberries do, by the way?
No, they're doing better.
Early? Okay. Yep.
They took off.
Yep.
Okay.
Like two plants have become 20 or 30.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, good.
Wow. I just saw something here. It's kind of, it wasn't in the section we read. Maybe it's a little aside, but kind of speaking to this point about fruit. And the, if any man builds his foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, his work will be shown for what it is. Mm-hmm. But that's not something that could be evaluated in the moment. It will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. Let's talk about the day of judgment. In other words, it's not something that we could even accurately evaluate the fruitfulness in the present.
something interesting, kind of going off what you were saying about the Hebrews passage, is the Hebrews people on some levels had a lot of apparent strength. They were Hellenistic, and yet they were also very steeped in Judaism. They knew the law. They were very interested in the forms of the law, of trying to, you know, all the Old Testament baggage of the law, basically. But yet, at the same time, like you said, they also were having trouble struggling with right and wrong. So I don't think they'd internalize the law to the point where they could really readily live it. It was more, it was still just the forms of the law that, okay, this is covered with the do, this is covered with the don't type things.
Like it's measurable, yeah.
Yeah,
very measurable.
And it was something they were still looking for. But Hebrews is all about, look, it's about faith. It all comes down to it. The do's and the don'ts don't matter. What matters is Christ and faith in Him. And it spoke in a lot of metaphors to their philosophy. So they had a very deep philosophic background in Platonic thought. And it also spoke to a lot of stuff in Hebrew. So they had a lot of background in the law. But what they didn't have was, I guess, an internalization of Christ in their life. They just had the law and philosophy. And those two are both nice and good, but they're nothing without the faith and being centered in that.
I think another point, too, is it's implied, I guess, and I'm only reading one verse, but just for as long as there is jealousy and quarreling among you, you are not of the flesh, having a, and behaving according to human inclinations. Is this the impulse? Remember last week I said one of the struggles I had was a kid, it was just these impulses, you know, to get angry, you know, and yell at him or something. Mm-hmm. You know, this implies, you know, an awareness of human inclinations and not human inclinations, and a control of human inclinations. I don't know what other versions say there, but
that's a good way to put it. And I mean, this as men. Are you not acting like mere men? So human inclination gives a better insight.
And that's kind of a biggie. a human inclination. I mean, that's, you know, of course, obviously we're not, we have a new way, obviously, but
yeah.
Sometimes in, we have to discern that, you know, what is a human inclination, and I may be reading way too much into this, but, you know, he's implying we are doing it and following it by the way of men.
So I guess, like Jeff said earlier, we'll see the eventual fruit and measurement way down the road, but in the short term, we still need to evaluate, are we acting just like mere men with quarreling or this or that? So we have, because I was going to ask, our business is way off track by requiring us to do an annual evaluation of our personnel every year. I mean, is that way off? Should we be doing a 10-year evaluation? Or do we actually need to evaluate?
But they operate on a purely human level.
And basically, they rooted themselves to death. They had no good foundation. And they produced all this beautiful looking fruit, and then they died. And I think that we have this beautiful wisteria, that is this beautiful, healthy tree, and it has never bloomed. And it, from first looking at it, you'd say, oh, that is a beautiful tree. But it's never bloomed, so something's wrong with that, too.
And when we read the same chemicals that they're both blocking.
And if we look at our lives, sometimes we produce tons and tons of apparent fruit. And yet, we have no root, and it's going to kill us, because we're so concerned with everyone else perceiving this fruit in our lives, instead of building the root.
Yeah, I can tell you, man, people I went to campus ministry who were incredibly busy with Bible studies with people and bringing people to Christ, they aren't even Christians anymore.
It's
incredible, man. I'm really sad to see that.
Sure.
Right. I want to bring out just one point about it, since I didn't quite have a chance to get into the next part. Just before we leave, it's something along the lines of what you pointed out earlier, Jeff, with the root versus the fruit. The foundation, when we get into the last or the middle part of chapter 13, that root that you're talking about is the foundation. And the foundation that we're building upon is Jesus Christ. And I guess the one point that I wanted to make is that when we became Christians, we got the foundation, and now it's our job to build on it. And you pointed out we can spend so much time evaluating where you're at and lose sight of the fact that we already have the foundation, and we are Christians. Paul, and earlier on here, Paul was talking to these people and calling them worldly. And I'm thinking, you know, the worldly? I thought I was not of this world anymore. But you can't lose sight of the fact that he really was speaking to Christians here. He was speaking to people who were saved through the blood of Jesus just like we are, even though he's calling them worldly. And it goes back to John 17, Jesus' prayer, just prior to his crucifixion. He says, they are not of the world any more than I. They are not of the world any more than I am of the world. So Jesus is saying we are not of this world, and yet sometimes we act worldly. And that's more than what we were going to talk about, building the foundation. You can build it in the wrong way, even though your foundation is still for sure. So anyway, let's not lose sight of the fact that we are grounded, we are rooted in Jesus Christ.
Maybe we can, if you want, I know we don't have class next week, but if we want to know, we can just, sorry to short you on your time.
We've got to keep moving on in chapter 3. We've got two more books to go.
There's a lot of thoughts in here.
Yeah.
Every section could take multiple weeks.
Yeah.
We'll at least get past chapter 3.
we'll be accused of being Dale Lundy. How many times does it take them to get through Acts?
I was in a class with Marilyn Hyde.
Half a year with Justin studying the second grade. I think you're about halfway through the book, and half a year with interns meeting once a week for 2 hours. And I know we didn't complete second grade meeting.
I was in a class over Marilyn Hyde. It was a year through John, at least a year.
Hey, could you close us in a prayer, Jason?
Sure.
Thanks, man.
Lord, thank you for this beautiful day, the chance to gather together to try and work on growing ourselves more, to try and be more yours, more in tune with you, so that when you speak, our hearts vibrate in resonance. Help us to see you, to hear you in the words of each other, in the world around us, and to see what's not of you as we go through our lives. Help us today to really get into worshiping you, to sync up our hearts with you. Just again, thank you for this wonderful time, for all the resources we have and the different backgrounds we have to bring to bear studying you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Jason.